Blog Talk Radio.
Do you know who I am? Oh my God, who the hell cares?
Although I know TNA is going on right now, and we're just going to get to some of the little things. I'm taking over for Chris. I'm glad he's doing a good job and getting a lot of people listening in, so hopefully I can fulfill his shoes. So hopefully I can do a good job. Because normally, I called on the show last week, and it was interesting. And, while I'm listening to his show so far, I like it. It's like the same things that you get these fans, well, time to time, I call them asshole fans, because that's what some of them are, just want to judge something before they even know behind the scenes or anything. Just about the same thing we were talking about with the John Cena threat, but I know we're going to get to this merge. Seems like I think the title won't merge, but I think they're going to have one champion, but we'll get into that later. I'm just going to read the results of this past Monday's Raw because I didn't get to do it on my show this past Monday due to technical difficulties through Blog Talk Radio and here as well. So let's get to the results of that. The Shield defeated Goldust, Cody Rhodes, and Rey Mysterio. Rey Mysterio making his Raw return, it was not a bad match, so not saying it sucked or anything, but it was a decent match. Next up is Curtis Axel and Ryback versus Big E Langston and Mark Henry as a tag match. Big E Langston and the returning Mark Henry. If this would be a tag team, and I mean like a tag team of the future, oh my God, I think people will be having to run for their money and they'll just be complaining about it. My thing, this could be a tag team in the making if they decide to go that route. The world's strongest team, I know somebody had called it. That'd be good, but Big E Langston and Mark Henry did win the match. Also, they had they did the rematch from Survivor Series with the 7-on-7 Diva Tag Team Elimination match. This one, I think, well, like the match the past Sunday was pretty good, and this one wasn't as bad as well, so something enjoyable. Well, of course, the Total Divas team did win, and I know I was doing some things and stuff, especially from what happened this past Sunday night, seeing JoJo doing a little bit of something, which I'm surprised at. Oh, wow. This girl got some moves. And I know a lot of people was like booing Eva Marie. I'm like, JoJo's better than Eva Marie. Oh, God. That is so funny. So they have a hardcore match. The Hamptons hardcore match for Dolph Ziggler and Damian Sandow. I guess this feud kind of started going ever since, I think, beginning of this month. But, oh, crap. I'm running up here. I'm just trying to let people know I'm on the air. Although I only got like 30 minutes. So I'm going to try to fill in as much as I can. So just bear with me here. I should have done this before I was on the air, but there, copy that and just paste it all over the groups. And there we go. Okay, this match, you have like tennis, golf clubs, tennis balls, and all that crazy stuff. It's like they have certain like hardcore matches and stuff like they did with the, they call it a Broadway Brawl, which I still don't get why they call it a Broadway Brawl. But, I guess my thing is just, why? They might as well just bring back the hardcore title. I guess that's just me saying that they should have brought back the hardcore title. A little bit more easier to do like I said, we get into the title unification in a bit. CM Punk and Daniel Bryan versus the Wyatt family on the 2-on-3 handicap match. The match ended in a no contest. Like, suddenly, all three of the Wyatt family jumped in to kidnap Daniel Bryan, which I kind of stated it from the before the Survivor Series that this feud may not end. At least it won't end very soon. Which is just, I guess this is one of those feuds you just thought be done quickly and just move on. But, as I know, they're probably planning something big for this feud. So all we got to do right now is just wait and see what happens. But, let's see what else happened. Okay. Kofi Kingston and The Miz, the rematch from Survivor Series pre-show, with The Miz once again winning. And I don't know, because I thought Kofi was going to win that, but most likely that didn't happen. Making the singles debut is Xavier Woods versus Heath Slater. Xavier Woods winning the match, and they had the Rollers Clay theme song playing for him. So I don't know what this going to mean for Rollers Clay or Tenzai, but he did also have the Funkadactyls come out with him too. So it's just interesting on what they're going to do with that scenario, which right now, who knows. Oh, okay. I'm just sorry. I was just checking on a group and I just couldn't comment on there for some odd reason. I don't know why. But, let's see. Like I said, just pardon me, y'all. I know we got a half-hour show and got a little time on our hands and just got to let people know that I'm on. At least they can try to listen to, you know, the rest of it and whatnot. So, like I said, just mind me. The main event that had John Cena and Big Show in the tag team match against Randy Orton and Alberto Del Rio. Good match, and don't see no complaints or anything like that. So, it was a good match. I think with Cena and Big Show winning, although Big Show was taken apart in the way they focused on the head. And after Cena had the pin and Orton goes on an attack and was holding two belts. So if y'all didn't see earlier that day on Raw that they decided at TLC that they're going to do a unification match. Well, not unification match, but both belts on the line hanging up in a ladder in the TLC match. I guess this is my opinion on this. What I'm going to say is, because I know some of y'all ain't going to like it, some of y'all will, but I guess my thing is this. They should not have a have one champion or a unification match. I know Triple H explained it more on yesterday on Main Event. They only need like one champion, and they have two. And, of course, it was 11 years in the making because they had to separate the champions and stuff in 2002 since they did a brand split. But in my opinion, I think they should have kept on with the brand split because, of course, you have all these people in the roster and you're not using them. And I'm thinking I at least get these other guys, you know, not to listen, but at least something for them to do. Because it's just one of those things. It's like you can't just have this whole bunch of people then suddenly, because most likely it seems like they're going to end up getting fired. But that's what it seems like. But hopefully that doesn't happen. Because I know me and a few people was talking about it, and like they do that, and then now they ain't going to do the brand split. What's going to happen to the people that was trying to make a name for yourself, and especially people, let's just say people like Zack Ryder, that hasn't been on TV much as of late. Could it be because of this or anything? Or Ziggler's position will go down? Or is any other, like, people position going down because of this? I just think that they shouldn't do it even if y'all decide y'all gonna do this, y'all gotta bring another like little title in here, hardcore title, cruiserweight title, or something. Because I know right now they are going to focus more on the tag team, which is a good thing. Nothing wrong with that. It's a good thing. But I guess it all depends who they're trying to get. Because I heard they're trying to sign Davey Richards and Eddie Edwards. They might sign them. Right now, I guess there's a little bit of debate on are they going to do it or not. And plus, they're going to try to bring some more tag teams into effect. But from NXT as well. So just got to wait and see what they're going to do with that. But back to what I was saying, that I think they should do another show. Or at least put NXT more on the map and make it like 2 hours. This is one of those things that's just like, you're going to feel bad for the other wrestlers you want to see, but then again, you guys got to support them. Like, let them know you're fans. Like, buy their merchandise, go to their meet and greets, and watch their appearance at, like, certain shows or even in TV shows and movies. Got to show them support. Well, and why some of y'all stars ain't, like, getting pushed up is there because y'all not supporting them enough. Cheering or booing them is not going to help either. So hopefully y'all realize that. So hopefully if y'all want to say be stars, support them. Support every single star you like and just get them noticed. That's just what I got to say on the matter. And there's somebody, I know I don't normally call out people, but there's really some people that just need to be called out. Only because some people can be douchebags. And why some of these people, I think they're douchebags? Because they're douchebags. Okay, I've been befriended by, and he was a former member called Gabriel Guzman. It was about sports. It was about the Packers. Because all he's saying, Packers sucks, and this and that. And the funny thing is, when I made out all my points, he wouldn't get all pissed off and upset, and he did unfriend me, but so what? He's no longer part of WFSO, so there it is. But he's also like one of them smarks that, you know, that hates John Cena and don't have a good reason for it and don't understand the business and stuff like that. Just, it's one of those people that just let the fan in them go to their head and just don't realize the business side of things. But then again, this is interesting. I'm sorry, I'm just reading the page from Backstage Update on call Paul Heyman and Christian. Reason why former World Heavyweight Champion Christian has been out of action is because of concussion that he suffered a few months ago. He's apparently has not yet fully recovered. He is expected to clear to return sometime within the next few weeks. Paul Heyman probably won't be seen on the TV television again until Brock Lesnar returns. Plans could always change, but as of right now, Heyman is expected to be kept off the TV until he comes back with Lesnar. So we know that what they're trying to do with this situation, they want to do Brock and Undertaker, but I guess right now Undertaker is like 50-50 that he's going to do it, 50-50 he's not going to do it, wherever the source may be. But who knows what happened. I guess it's just one of those things that I know they got to figure out because it's like 5 months away, and I know they need to figure out what they're going to do, but they probably got most of the stuff figured out, or who they want to push all the way up to WrestleMania, or they probably don't have all their matches set. They probably just got some of them, but we'll see what happens. But it's that one prediction that I made. Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry. Well, I was trying to say that they probably have their plan for the Royal Rumble, or they probably have an idea who's going to win the Royal Rumble and what's going to happen. So I'm saying some of the matches like last year, like Randy Orton and Sheamus, like they could do that if they want to still and just have like a heated rivalry and still have Sheamus as face and Orton as heel. Like they could still do that. But also with the brand combining now, the guys are going to be more tired than ever. And but it's also a good thing that you can see them all on SmackDown. So I guess that's a big plus. And also, this is a big plus all around. So don't mind me. I'm sorry, people. I'm just looking at play photos and stuff going on. And plus, like I said, back to the brand split. And I know I need to start repeating this. They shouldn't have it. It shouldn't go on or anything like that. But maybe it'll be a twist to it. Or maybe, as y'all were saying, both titles will be grabbed by each of them. Maybe John Cena grabbed the WWE champion and Orton grabbed the World Heavyweight and they just both just fall in. It's just really not clicking or whatever. So that's a possibility of something happening like that. Let's see. Wait, am I even on this group? So I'm looking in this group and had like a big conversation about what people felt about the unification match and stuff like that. But right now, I don't see. Let me see if I can find it. Because normally I'll just have it from point A to point B and stuff like that. Of course, they're having I know, like I said, TNA is going on right now this Monday on. So if it's our aftermath, we are going to talk about it. Excuse me. Okay, because this is thread. I'm looking for what the picture they post on from Survivor Series of John Cena and Randy Orton both holding up the belts. And I said my 2 cents on here, and it's just still going since Monday. Okay, here's what it says. Does this not excite you? Well, don't watch it. Don't stream it. And for the love of fuck, don't cry about it online because we heard more than enough from you whiny bitches that don't pay for the pay-per-view and still think that your opinion matters more than the kids who got their folks to buy it for them, along with 7 John Cena t-shirts and all the action figures. WWE isn't for you anymore. Find something else to care about that you actually want to put your money back into instead. Well, I mostly do agree with this, with people whining and complaining about it. And like I said, y'all don't like what they're doing? Go complain to the WWE himself, although you know they ain't going to listen to no fan mail or anything like that. They'll just probably look at the letter, like, what's it for? Oh, it's some person. Next. They'll just throw it away. So, there's just a lot of these comments is going on. But I'm also going to read what I put instead. And I know Chris had put something on here as well. So, this is really a lot. It is really a lot. Let's see. Now, this is very me. Probably what I'm going to find what I put in. Well, I'm probably going to read what Chris put first, and because I know he posted something before I did, so I'm just looking. Let's see. Let's see. this guy called the First Man MVR. He's like, I guess he was saying he had his complaints at why Orton and Cena are fighting again, what, 13 times, I think it was. That's what he's saying. Okay, this guy named Matt Reagan. This is starting to apply to me. I understand Orton and Cena are supposed to be the biggest draw. The honest question is now. But your product is still after 10 years and the same old feuds we've seen over and over again. There really is a lack of big push talent by every title because the two heavyweight titles are relegated to be in the joke. Even with the Wyatt's pump Ryan with bit spots, wrestling is slowly fading from my interest again, as it did back in 2006 before I picked it back up in 2010. So they really made a mistake, and I keep it Bryan in the top where he belongs. So the Survivor Series main event being Orton versus Big Show for the title in 2013 is just sad, because that was one of their worst match ever. It's like, it was just going awful bad. It was just like they wasn't trying. Ooh, this is something interesting. I do want to read this. Come on. I guess they're saying something about successful the pay-per-views from last year. How successful were WWE pay-per-views last year in 2012? Let's see. Let me go back. Okay, there we go. So it's going to be 7 parts, so I'm going to read, and we're just going to go from there. In the latest part of my WWE review, this is by some guy on the Bleacher Report. So his latest reviews on 2012 series take a look at the success of this year's pay-per-view event. Justice has based upon the pay-per-view buy rates rather than the entertainment value, which is also worth nothing that December's TLC tables, ladders, and chairs has not been considered as at the time of writing. Officially, the buy rate has not been released. So, let's see. National WrestleMania was the most successful pay-per-view of the year with 1,217,000 buys. It made it not only the most purchased show in the year, but also surpassed the event's all-time record of pay-per-view buys, which was set by WrestleMania 23 back in 2007, which they mean WrestleMania 28 with The Rock and Cena. In second place comes the opening pay-per-view of the year, Royal Rumble, with 443,000 buys. Let's see. It sees the show retain its place of its fellow Big Four pay-per-views on the WWE calendar. Oh, crap. I didn't mean to do that. Okay, there we go. While Brock Lesnar's return may have not repelled UFC success, his pressure helped SummerSlam garner an impression of 358,000 buys. And speaking of Brock Lesnar, Extreme Rules managed to chop to tart the top 4 finish with 263,000 buys. It was, of course, Lesnar's first WWE pay-per-view in 8 years since his underwhelming appearance at WrestleMania 20, and saw the B-list show stand out as one of the highlights of 2012. Despite surrendering his place in the top 4, Survivor Series managed to make the list with the 5th best buy rate of the year, 212,000 buys. Let's see. So that looks like the top 5. So at least like all the Big 4 is on that top 5. So that's a good thing. Okay. Perhaps unsurprisingly, it was one of the company's newest pay-per-views posted the lowest buy rate of the year. Over the Limit managed just 167,000 worldwide buys. This could be explained by the pay-per-view's lack of heritage and the absence of a particular gimmick or theme to make it unique. This is kind of true. Having said that, the unique stipulation of the Elimination Chamber, no favors to show the clocks at the number 2 worst with 178,000 buys, meaning SmackDown in the middle of WrestleMania season, which I'm kind of shocked because I was at that pay-per-view and it was sold out, and I just thought it would get like a lot of buys, but apparently it was the second worst. So that's not good. Despite being SmackDown in the middle of WrestleMania season, my horror and WWE Championship match pulling CM Punk and against Daniel Bryan in no disqualification match couldn't prevent Money in the Bank from destroying the third worst buy rate of the year with 188,000 buys. Shortly behind Money in the Bank comes September's Night Champion with a lackluster buy rate of 189,000. And John Cena versus CM Punk for the WWE Championship comes to prevent a lackluster buy rate. Wow. Finally, posted as the fifth worst buy rate 2012 was June's pay-per-view No Way Out with figures of 194,000 buys. Now the impossibility witness of John Laurinaitis firing could destroy more than the WWE Universe to persuade the event. Wow. So this would be interesting to hear from. It seems like this person probably will do the same thing, the same post as, oh, he's doing a compare of 2011 to 2012. So probably post the same thing in 2013, which will be interesting to hear. Not only did WrestleMania set the top buy rate of the year, it was also the most improved pay-per-view on 2011 figures. The showcase of the Immortals posted an increase of 158,000 buys that almost many as the entire over-the-limit pay-per-view managed. SummerSlam was, in fact, the second most successful show and impressed an increase of 62,000 buys. Third most improvement pay-per-view was Extreme Rules was rising by with 54,000. Let's see, although Nia Champion was the fourth least purchased show of the year, it also had increased 28,000 buys. Let's see, what else? Over the Limit had increased as well with 27,000 buys, making the fifth most improved pay-per-view of the year. Let's see, what else? Okay, the least successful compare with 2011. Survivor Series did the worst in decreasing 69,000 buys. Elimination Chamber was the second worst, dropping 21,000 buys. Money in the Bank was the third, dropping 7,000 buys. Royal Rumble saw a 3,000 buys drop. Let's see. And despite seeing the buy rate increase by 10,000 buys, Hell in a Cell was the fifth least improvement upon the show. However, given the Hell in a Cell fact increase upon 2011 total, was still one of the year's least successful show in terms of improvement and may be able to conclude 2012 was indeed a better year for WWE in terms of performance. Let's see. Well, let's see, in 2012, it saw a total of 3,609,000 buys, 609,000 buys. Indeed marked the increase of 2011, 260,000 buys. So I hope this guy will do the same report next year so I can just, like, read it and see where it goes from there, so. Don't forget to check out the other shows that's going on. You got this weekend. You got the re-up show. I think that's going to be starting back on Saturdays on Tone Deaf Radio. It'll be my show, the Archer Jones Show, at noon. My show again Sunday mornings on this station on the WFSO Radio Network. Monday is WFSO Aftermath. Wednesday, and we have Hazel Runs Her Mouth, and of course this show with Chris. So until then, people, see y'all next week. Well, I might as well say see you on Sunday on this station and see y'all Saturday on Tone Deaf Radio.
It's time to get off.